And that's the truth. We need the Lord. We need Him all the time. In the good times and in the bad times. We tend to hunt Him in the bad times. Amen. But He's there all the time. And I'm glad He is. And it's good to see you tonight. I realize this is Super Bowl Sunday. I guess it is, isn't it? It's a good crowd. Amen. I'll tell you something about the Super Bowl. If they waited on me to make money, they'd be in trouble. I couldn't tell you the last time I watched a Super Bowl or a football game. It just ain't my thing. Amen. But nonetheless, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And good to see the people of God. And I appreciate JP preaching this morning, Brother Russ. He taught my Sunday school class for me this morning. I appreciate men. I know there's many others. Could step up if need be. And you know, it's good to have. Amen. It's good to have faithful people in the house of God. People that are willing to serve God and do for the Lord. The Lord blesses that. He always will. Now tonight I'm going to preach you in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. And I will tell you this. I've been preaching from the book of Joel. And I'm coming back. But I will say this to you. Joel is a difficult book. And I've run into some roadblocks. You ever run into roadblocks? Well, I told the Lord, and I tell you, that until I've got it straight, you ain't going to get it. Amen? That's the way it is. And I'll get it straight because I want to be sure that I rightly divide this whole book. Amen. I would in no way wrongly divide this whole book. And you know, I got to studying that Joel chapter number 2, down there near the end of that chapter is a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. And I'm drilling my head into it. And when my head gets drilled through, you'll get it. Okay? But until then, the Lord said, Ecclesiastes. You go to Ecclesiastes. By the way, we've been staying in the book of Proverbs. And we're going to be there for a little while. But guess who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? Same old fella that wrote the book of Proverbs. And another great, powerful book in the Bible is the book of Ecclesiastes. And I'm going to preach for a little while on Sunday night on the pursuit of happiness. You know, we got a world today looking for happiness. And we seem to be the most miserable society there has ever been. Amen. I'm talking about the church society. I'm talking about people in the churches today, the people who say they're born again and on the way to heaven, whose sins have been put under the blood of Jesus Christ, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who look like somebody run over them with a Mack truck. You ought to be excited today to be the child of God. You ought to be the happiest people in the world. Amen. So why is it? That seems like people. I'll tell you why it is. I want to tell you why it is that church people are so unhappy. It's because they're not in the Word of God. They're out of the house of God. They won't come to the house of God. And if trouble comes, they blame God. And then they get all mad at God. And the next thing you know, they're unhappy and miserable because they've left. They've left where the happiness is. Amen. Solomon, when he writes the book of Ecclesiastes, is up in years. I don't know how old he is, but he's looking back down the road. He's looking back down the road, and he's going to address a young generation of people. He's learned some things in his life. He's become educated. And by the way, he's the wisest man that ever lived. And even the wisest man ever lived had to learn some things. Amen. Don't ever think you've got to the point that you're done learning, because you'll never get there until you're in the presence of God. You should absorb the Word of God. You ought to soak it in, and every day and every night of your life, soak it in and read it and say, God, give me something brand new out of it, because He will. You can read the same passage of Scripture 14 times and get 14 different things out of it if you'll just read it to that intent. Huh? That's the way the Word of God is. It's written to be alive. And it's alive every time you read it. Amen. And God directs your pathways while you read it. And God will say, now listen here. And maybe that's why God stuck me up in the book of Joel, because he wanted me to scoot over to the book of Ecclesiastes. I don't know why God does what he does, but God does it because there's a reason. And he says, no, boy, you're going to scoot over here a little while. Amen, you'll come back here right now, but for now you're stuck. I got something else over here. You open the book right here, and boy, and it's done got good. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We're reading tonight verses 1 through 7. By the way, I ate good while I was gone. I ate right. I didn't get out of bounds. I wanted to, but I didn't get out of bounds. I stayed faithful to what I said I was going to do. It's hard, but nonetheless. And I'm going to tell you how the devil tempts you. We went out to eat one night, and I was sticking, I was eating right stuff. And there was a problem with our order. And so the manager come over and apologized, and he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, because of your trouble, we're going to have desserts for the table. I said, oh, Lord, have mercy. That's the way the devil works. I haven't eaten nothing. I haven't eaten no sweets now in over a month. I ain't eat a piece of bread. I hate it. I haven't eaten a piece of bread in over a month. But I told him, I said, give it to the kids. Amen. I didn't eat it. Amen. I know you didn't want to hear that, but. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Look with me at verse 7 verses. The words of the preacher, the son of David, King in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Now, I don't know if you underline things in your Bible, but there's some things you need to underline here. Number one is this word vanity. In verse number 2, and it appears there several times, it's vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. And then you need to underline over in verse number 3 those words, under the sun. Let's go on. One generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers came, thither they return again. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes, by the way, the word Ecclesiastes means the preacher. And it was written, of course, like I said, by the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon. And he wrote this at a time when he's looking back down in his life. He's up in years when he writes the book of Ecclesiastes. And you know the story of Solomon. As he got up into latter years, he fell away from the Lord and got into sin and got into vanity and got away from God. You know the story. And now he's looking back down at those days. And he's looking back at his days of youth when God told him he could have anything he wanted. You remember, God said, whatever you want, I'll give you. And he asked for wisdom to discern right from wrong, and God gave him that, and there's never been one wiser ever since Solomon. But Solomon, looking back down at the days of his youth and regretting his failures in the latter years. And this, by the way, I believe he wrote this book to the younger generation. coming up to learn some things. And he's going to say, I'm going to tell you some things. And this younger generation, they were looking for the meaning of life. They were looking for happiness in life. And I thought about this. I thought about our generation of young people today and the happiness that they're looking for. Listen, this young generation today has no idea what happiness is. They're trying to find happiness in everything from gadgets to pills to bottles. They're looking for it. But happiness is not coming. Happiness will not come when you get a part of the Word of God. When you get out of the house of God, you'll not find happiness, because there's only one true way to be happy, and that's to have the Prince of Peace inside your heart and know that He dwells there. There's no happiness in this world. We live in a miserable world. Amen. We live in a sad world. But the devil is so entertaining our young people today. Entertain them with things and the World Wide Web. Listen, you can go anywhere you want to go and never leave your house. You can visit other countries. You can do just about anything now that you want to do. And the devil is entertaining them. Anything but read God's Word. Anything but go to the house of God. Anything but to study and to show thyself approved. Isn't that what the Bible says? We need to be studying God's Word, instilling God's Word into our heart. And Solomon talking to a younger generation looking for happiness and trying to find answers to their problems, and they cannot find them, and what they think they find ends up being misery. Today, many people are looking for the meaning of life. Our young generation, they're spending all their time into things that have no meaning. The true meaning of life must be beyond this veil of tears. Has to be beyond this veil of tears. If we're going to find happiness, we cannot look at this world, but we must look at the world that comes beyond this world and involves God. You see, true happiness can only be found in the true and living God. Now, let's look here what Solomon had to say. Verse number one, the first three verses, actually you have an introduction here. You have an introduction from the preacher. To the life of vanity. Verse number one, he says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Now, there's no doubt who that is. There's no doubt who that is. That's Solomon. Now, he's the son of David. He's king in Jerusalem. Matter of fact, if you go back to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. You see, in Proverbs, he's the king of Israel. In Ecclesiastes, he's the king in Jerusalem. Amen? It's the same man. It is Solomon. Notice that the wisest man that has ever lived in this verse, he has brought himself down. Now, notice what he says in verse 1. He's brought himself down from being king to being what? He's come down to the preacher. He's not degrading himself. He's getting down there where he can talk to him. Amen. Now, Solomon was just like us. He was blessed of God. God blessed him. Got himself in trouble. Listen, folks, if we don't watch, it's so easy to get ourselves in trouble. Like I said, the devil is so entertaining the world today, it is so easy to get yourselves in trouble. And so Solomon has learned some things. And so now he's coming down and he's going to be the preacher. He wants them to listen to what he's got to say here. You see, in his wisdom, he has come to realize that this generation he is speaking to needs someone to come to them with good news, news of wisdom, news to help them to make the right decisions, not to make mistakes that he made in his life. One of the greatest examples people can have is yourself. You know, we have learned some things in our lives. We have learned things in our lives that's brought us to our knees, brought us to trouble, you see, and God's delivered you. Amen. You share that. Share that with the generation coming up. Today, you and I, it is God's word that keeps us from making the mistakes that would bring harm to our lives. Let me tell you something. If you read God's word, and if you study God's word, why, it's full. It's full of examples that'll keep you out of harm's way. Amen. Full of things that'll guide your feet in the right path. We have the greatest gift that these people in the Bible didn't have, and that's the Bible. We have God's roadmap. We have God's instructions to help us to get the happiness in the life that we need. I was down, of course, where I was at this past weekend. There's lots of stuff down there. Lots of stuff. And people, you know, people are looking for entertainment. Entertainment. Boy, it's down there. And they're just looking for entertainment. You know, I was sitting yesterday. They put me on that big old wheel. Annie wanted to ride that wheel. She rode that thing, hooping and hollering. I was scared to death in that thing. It goes way up her. And holy mackerel. I said, Gray, she's just, I said, child, sit down. You're rocking the boat. Hey, man. Oh. I was watching people. You know, I thought, these people are looking for entertainment. Wonder how many of them is looking for Jesus. Yeah. Wonder how many of them even cares that Jesus is coming. They have, you know, now there's good people down there, don't get me wrong. Good people. We sat beside a man and his wife in a restaurant one night, and we were praying. You know, they wanted to pray. There's good people. Good people everywhere you go. There's people looking for Jesus everywhere you go. But I watched a lot of the young generation, and I actually was sitting outside in a rocking chair down there, and rocking away, you know. And I was watching those young people go by, and the way they were dressed and the way they looked, and I thought, somebody's failed to tell these kids something. The sloppiest looking mess I ever seen in my life. Hey, man. I mean, sloppy looking, nasty looking. You know, boys and stuff dangling out of their ears. That ain't it. Boys, that ain't it. Hair down your back, it ain't it. Amen. Pants down to your knees, that ain't it. I'm telling you, they're failing. This generation needs somebody to say, put your pants on and straighten up. Amen. That's a problem with the world today. It's a mess. You know why it is? Because they're failing to hear the things, the wisdom that Solomon talked about. They're not hearing what the Word of God has to say. Amen. Oh, I look at some, I get disappointed when you look at some of the mess in the world today. But what can we do about it? We can pray. We can tell them what the Word of God says. Amen. And teach them the right way. Because the Word of God, and listen, let me tell you what, if you get in the Word of God, man, I'm talking to men tonight, if you get in the Word of God, you won't have things dangling out of your ears. You'll have a haircut to look right. You'll have clothes on that look good. And you'll be, hey, because that's what the Word of God says. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the Word that keeps us in line. It's the Word. We need to follow the Word. Listen, God today has given preachers of the Word. God's put preachers in places. And I still think, well, I know God's still calling preachers. You can say what you want to. God ain't quit calling preachers. He's still calling them. And He'll call them until He's done. Amen. And He's still calling preachers of the Word. And listen, he send them your way so you'll listen to what he has to say to you through them. You see, the problem comes when we no longer want to hear what the word has to say. We no longer want the word to rub us the wrong way. We don't want no more sore toes. We're tired of sore toes. Well, I can tell you is put on some hard shoes, because I'm going to tell you what, that's what the word of God says. Amen. It straightens us out, doesn't it? And so, the preacher, king in Jerusalem. Verse number 2. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now, I'm going to kill the final conclusion to the wisdom of man, apart from the wisdom of God, is vanity. We find the word vanity used in some 38 times in this wonderful book of the Bible. Apart from God, it's vanity. It's no good. Take it from a man who was there. His name was Solomon. You see, what does the word vanity mean? Well, it means empty, void of substance, meaningless. That's what it means. I thought about Psalm 39, verse 6 through 7. Surely every man walketh in a vain shoe. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. All other things is vain. It's no good. Psalm 94 and 11, the Bible says, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Listen, it's vanity, church. And here's what he's talking about, verse number 3. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Now, if all our labor and toiling, if all we have is what we see under the sun, what profit is it? That's what he's saying. Do you know there's people today that'll give everything they got, work themselves to death, to gain things under the sun? They want the best they can dig up under the sun. They want the best that they can find under the sun. They'll labor and toil and sweat and carry on. I'm not against working. We should work and make a living, as we're supposed to work and make a living. We're supposed to do the best we can do. But when that's all that matters to us under the sun, Solomon says it's empty, it's meaningless, it is of no good. Amen. When we strive and give up the things of God. And by the way, if you're giving up reading God's word to gain something under the sun, it's meaningless. You see, what did Paul say in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Amen. Set your affection on things above. Lay up treasures in heaven. Lay up souls in heaven. We are to be out soul winning. Hey, we are to be out telling somebody, Jesus saved my wretched soul. Jesus got my name in the Lamb's book of life. I wasn't worthy, but he put it there because I called upon his name, and because he saved my soul, and because he did, I don't worry about what's under the sun. I got better things beyond the rainbow. I got better things beyond the clouds. It's laid up in heaven. This stuff under the sun's got to go. This stuff under the sun's going to vanish away. But what we lay up over there, boy, we'll gather up when we get there. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Set your affection on things above. Hey, toiling, laboring for what? Solomon say it's vanity. He did it. Solomon had everything he ever wanted. Anything he wanted, he had it at the snap of a finger. You know what he said? Doesn't mean a thing. Does not mean a thing. It's meaningless. It's vanity. Now, I got to hurry. I know. I'm trying. I told JP, I said, boy, I didn't get to listen to his message, but Debbie had put it on the computer. I just got started. But I noticed the time. It said 51 minutes. I said, I feel better. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, if you got to say it, say it. Amen. It's vanity. That's what the preacher says here. Under the sun. Now, begin in verse 4, and we're just going to get down through verse 7 tonight. And these next few verses of our text, Solomon would deal with this life under the sun, the continual circle of life. Look at verse number 4. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. You know what happens? By the way, what he's telling you is, get ready. If the Lord doesn't come, you're going to die. Amen? That's the way it is. We're destined for that journey. Now, if you're a born again child of God, you shouldn't be worried about that journey. Amen? You know, death should not put any fear in the child of God tonight, because God, hey, we've got a Savior that's already walked through the valley of the shadow of death. He knows every stepping stone. He knows every pothole. He knows every curve, and He'll walk us through the same valley. And when it comes our time, we don't need to worry about dying. Hey, Solomon says it's a coming to you anyway. Hey, just serve God while you got time to serve Him. Amen. Quit worrying about it. Now, if you're not saved, better worry about it. But if you're saved, you don't need to worry about it. You see, we are born and then we die. And in between these two appointments, we make our life and we seal our destiny. Amen. We don't do it after we die. There's no purgatory. There's heaven or hell. You got from the time you're born to the time you die to seal your destiny. And tonight you're sealing your destiny. Amen. You see, it doesn't take long until we are replaced by a new generation. Amen. If tomorrow morning your phone rings and they say, you know what? The preacher went to glory last night. Hey, don't worry about it. Don't get all sad and fluffy up and around. Don't worry one thing about it. He'll be replaced by somebody else. That'll be okay, because he's dancing on the streets of glory. Don't worry about the preacher. He got it settled up some years ago at an old church over there in the mountain, over a basin. He met the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's been a bubbling over ever since. And I tell you what, I'm looking forward to the day when face to face I can look at him and know and see my Redeemer who set it all in order for me. Don't worry about me. Hey, you have a party. Amen. It'll come. I'll tell you what, it's funny. It's funny. We'll do everything in the world. I'm not against it, by the way. I'll do the same thing. We'll do everything in the world to prolong our lives. Amen. We'll take pills and drink juice, and I mean, we'll do everything to prolong our lives. I'm not against it. I'd do the same thing. That's what I'm telling you. But you know what's at the end of my life? Heaven. That's it. Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord. One generation cometh, passes away. Another one comes in. You know what Solomon's saying? It's a continuous cycle. You go get, I don't know if you still get the newspaper or not, but in the newspaper there'll be a section of births, then there'll be a section of obituaries. Amen. Life begins, life ends. Life begins, life ends. But you know what he said? The earth remaineth forever. Amen. Oh, I've got to hurry. I'm getting on. Great day. Oh boy. We only have a small window of opportunity to leave a lasting impression on this new generation. James said, our life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little while, and then it vanishes away, doesn't it? Our bodies were made to decay, but our souls were made to live. You see, so many people live their lives from their birth until their death and never realize the importance of their life in God. Their lives become wasted. It's vanity. It's empty. Notice Solomon now says that the earth abideth forever. God created this earth to last forever. The elements will burn, the Bible says, but God's creation will last forever. Psalm 104, verse 5, the Bible tells us, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. Psalm 119, and verse 90, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Now, let's move on to verse number 5. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. Now, by the way, we know in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God put the sun right where it is. And guess what? It's been there ever since. Amen? It's been there ever since. It's in the exact place that God put it, and it does exactly what God intends it for it to do. It works right around the clock, and it does the work that God tells it to do. The sun comes up in the morning, and it will set in the evening. Every day the same. It starts in the same place. It ends in the same place. You see, in this, and if this is all you and I see, guess what? If this is all you and I know, it's empty. But I'm going to tell you, we must look beyond the rising and the setting of the sun. We must look beyond the working cycles of the sun to a creator who set it there in place so you and I could set out in the sun and soak up its rays and feel the peace that comes from it. You see, it was put in order by a creator. There's no way possible that an explosion set that sun where it is. God's almighty hand hung it out there and said, bless my people. Whew. Amen. If all we see is what is under the sun, we are people in misery. We must look to the one in control. Psalm 19. Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night sheweth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. Oh, amen. And rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Amen. Everything's affected by the sun. Everything. If that sun would shift just a little bit, you and I'd be in trouble. Amen. But God's got his mighty hand on it. Now I'm going to tell you something. One of these days, God's going to lift his children from off of this earth. Amen. It's called the rapture of the church. This is how God loves his children now. God's going to lift his children up off of this earth one of these days. And then do you know what's going to happen? That sun's going to shift. Tribulation's going to set in. Things are going to burn up. They're going to freeze up. You know why? Because God's going to take his almighty hand off. Let me tell you something. We better serve a true and living God today. Amen. Solomon says, if that's all you're looking at, if all you're seeing is the rising of the sun, the setting of the sun, you are in trouble. If that is all that you see. Now, verse number 6. In verse number 6, here's what he says. Excuse me. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about to the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. Now he deals with the wind here. The wind. You ever think much about the wind? You never see the wind, do you? You see its effects. But you never see the wind. It can come from any direction at any time. It can do a lot of damage if it so wants to. Amen? But Solomon's saying, we spend our time trying to figure out the wind. It's vanity. It's vanity. You see, if we try to figure out the wind is and where it's coming from, we will soon drive ourselves crazy. Because you'll never figure it out. You see, God controls the wind. Amen? The disciples, they're on a ship, standing on a ship, and a storm has just ravaged the ship, and it's been boisterous and scary, and the master was awoken, and he comes up to the bow of the ship, and he says, "Peace, be still." And the wind blew no more. And they said, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Huh? Oh, I tell you, that ought to move you. Hey, that the wind, hey, you know what I think? I think this, the sun and the wind, they got more sense than some of we got. Amen? Because they listen to the master. They obey the master. They do what he says. When he says, "Sit down," the wind, sit down. Amen? When he says, "Sun, come up," he comes up. When he says it's time to go to bed, he goes to bed. Amen? You see, what Solomon's saying, if this is all you see and you're trying to figure it out, you're empty. You got to look beyond this. There's a somebody driving the controls. Amen? Oh, boy. We must put our trust in the God that causes the wind to blow. You'd be in trouble without wind. Amen. You need the wind. John chapter 3, verse number 8. Jesus said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'll think about God and how he moves into us. Think about that. I've never physically with my eyes looked upon Jesus. But I have felt him. It's just like that wind. Amen? Boy, sometimes he hits us hard. Amen? Boy, and sometimes he moves us. Oh, boy, he sweeps in like a mighty rushing wind. Amen? Sometimes that wind's soft and gentle. And sometimes it's very still. But I'm going to tell you, he moves just like the wind. I love it when the wind blows in. Amen? I'm going to tell you, you can feel it when the wind blows in. I'm talking about the Spirit of God. Amen? About the Spirit of God. And when you let the Spirit of God hit you, boy, I tell you, it'll change the way you feel. It'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you walk. But I'm telling you, we kill that wind a lot of times with doubt. When we doubt the things of God. Now, I got one more, verse 7, and I'm done. Look what he said in verse number 7. "All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers came, thither they return again." You know the cycle of rain, don't you? It comes down, it goes up. Comes down, it goes up. You see, there's this thing called evaporation. The rivers all run to the sea, but yet the sea's never full. You see, who designed that master plan? God. He knew we'd need rain. And he knew if he didn't do something with the water on here, we'd be overtaken with water. So he said, I'll get my rain from them. And at the same time, they'll have good fresh water to drink. Isn't it amazing how God can suck water out of the ocean and give you fresh water to drink? Amen? Man ain't been able to do that yet. Amen? But God can take salt water and give fresh water. That's the God we serve. If you're looking at things under the sun, then you're going to be empty. You see, the importance we must realize tonight, we have been put here by a purpose, by God for a purpose, under His great creation. You and I need to be finding out what it is God wants us to do. Your life doesn't have to be empty. It can be full. It can be full to running over. So many people tonight are empty. I'm talking about Christian people, good people. I know good people that are empty. You know why they're empty? They're looking at things under the sun. They're dwelling at things under the sun. They're looking at man and man's mistakes. And by the way, if you look at man, you'll find all kinds of mistakes. But when you look to God, you won't find any mistakes. If you don't believe me, then go look at the sun. Hey, go look at the wind. Go look at the rivers. There's no mistake there. Amen. Solomon had learned some things. All those things he had in this life, they didn't mean nothing if that's all he had. And he had tried it all. And he's telling this generation of people, it's empty. Now, we'll continue next week. We'll pick up at verse number 8, and I'm going to go through this book, Ecclesiastes. I believe you'll be blessed by this book. It's a great book of the Bible, In Pursuit of Happiness. We must quit looking under the sun. Amen? And look beyond this veil of tears to a God who controls it all. Tommy, we'll sing a song tonight. We're going to sing a couple verses of song. Maybe here tonight and you want to pray. Maybe you want to ask God's help. Listen, church, you've heard me say this before. Our power is in prayer. If you've been neglecting prayer, get back to prayer time. Don't never quit praying for your people. Don't never quit praying for your lost loved ones, your sick loved ones. Don't never quit praying. Our power is in prayer. We don't have any other power. Under the sun, we have no power. But, buddy, when we get in the throne room of heaven, we got power. Amen. And so we need to get a hold of heaven. And we do it by prayer tonight. We do it by prayer. And if you're here and you're lost, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. You need to get on the power side. Amen. And that power side's God's side. Amen. Let's stand together and sing tonight.